Hey Gearheads, and welcome to GT Garage Talk, a discussion about all things automotive. I am your host, Corey, and on this week's episode, we're doing a little something different, in that I am going to bring you my thoughts from the 2022 LA Auto Show. But as I sit here to record this intro and eventually the outro that you'll hear at the end, I've not been. I'm still sitting here in my office in Tyler, Texas, thinking and dreaming about Southern California, as it is 36 degrees outside here in Tyler. And I've seen sneak peeks at what's going to be at the show. I've got my press conference schedule. I have general ideas. But as you are listening to this episode, I know everything. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, and I had to record this intro and the outro here before I even left the state of Texas, just to make sure I got that good production quality in there. So as I transition to my thoughts from the LA Auto Show, I will be in my hotel room in California. So audio quality may change a bit. But why don't we just jump into my thoughts from what we saw? Did I say Chicago Auto Show? I've already got Chicago on the brain. The LA Auto Show this week, this year. Let's round out the 2022 Auto Show season in LA. Well, thank you, Past Corey. And yes, this has been a very fun and exciting day for sure. I have just gotten back from walking nearly 20,000 steps, over 7 miles on the LA Auto Show show floor. The interesting thing about the LA Auto Show is it is in two halls that are separated by, and if you power walk this quickly, 4 minutes on foot. So there was a lot of back and forth in between both halls, and the press schedule of all the press conferences was not friendly and did not take into consideration the back and forth from one hall to the other. It was a little bit brutal, and so therefore I did not make it to all of the unveilings at the 2022 LA Auto Show, but I can tell you about them, because it was an absolute just full day of just tons to see. I even did a quick walkthrough video of as much of the show floor as I could cover quickly. Still left a lot of stuff out. Had to fly by things that I really wanted to spend some time with. Possibly spent some time with some things that maybe you didn't care to see, but I found interesting. You know how that story goes, but was just a good but very exhausting day here at the 2022 LA Auto Show. And why don't we just jump right in with, we'll go through all of the different vehicles that were unveiled, debuted here at the show. And then I'll talk about a couple that were really special to me, that meant something to me, that I spent a little time with. So first, I want to say the show floor opened at 8:30, but the first press conference for a global debut was not until practically 9:30. And so I had an hour just to scope out as much as I could, as quickly as I could. I was formulating a game plan, figuring out what vehicles were on my hit list, what were really just going to get short form content for Facebook and Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, and what I was going to do my best to get a long form walk around, sit in the seat type of video for Facebook and YouTube. And from that, I spent time in both halls. And like I said, there was a good 4 minute walk if you were hoofing it between the West Hall and the South Hall, made for a very interesting day going back and forth. And wouldn't you know it, when I realized we were closing in on time for the Subaru show, I was still all the way over in the South Hall while it was in the West Hall. When I finally made it over there, it was packed. And let me tell you about this Subaru display. It is a modified version of what they brought out last year and what they had at the Chicago Auto Show. So if you've been to those, you have seen this. It is a very immersive woodland experience. It really does feel like you are stepping into the redwood forest of Northern California. And you go onto the display floor, and it's actually kind of dizzying and could disorient you very quickly because the floor is a screen, it goes up the side to the stage, behind the stage is a screen. It's a very immersive experience. And while I was not there for the initial unveiling, they do have shows that show off the experience periodically throughout the day, and I was able to capture one of those shows on camera. They literally brought a thunderstorm inside to Southern California. It's a little bit of Hollywood magic, I guess you would say, and made for a very interesting experience. I still have a little hard time walking on that floor that is a display because it changes from the beach waves to the forest floor. There's a lot of different scenery that they've got there, but having it all around you and even underneath you could very well mess with your equilibrium very quickly. And Subaru debuted the new 2024 Impreza, and it was two different hatchback models. They showed the regular five-door in a beautiful blue color, and then a new RS trim in red. The RS trim has the 2.5-liter, 182-horsepower boxer four-cylinder engine, which we've tested in some other products, and just an all-around new upgraded experience for the Subaru Impreza. Has a 10% stiffer chassis and improved performance, and 11.6-inch Starlink infotainment system with available wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, improved eyesight, driver assistance tech. You know the drills. It's just getting new and modernized. And it was a very handsome vehicle. And what makes it even more special is 30 years ago at the 1992 LA Auto Show, the Impreza made its debut. So really cool to see this sixth generation make its debut 30 years after the nameplate was introduced to the world. So very cool there from Subaru and bringing all the very interesting Hollywood magic to their booth and their show. As soon as I realized my mistake by not being able to get to the Subaru display in time to see anything, and like, let me tell you, this place was packed. I couldn't even see the stage when I walked over there. So as soon as I realized said mistake, I immediately turned around and hoofed it that 4-minute walk back to the South Hall to the Hyundai booth, and I snagged me a really good seat because I knew what they were going to be showing off, because it was the North American debut but not the world debut of the new Hyundai Ioniq 6 electric vehicle. And I kind of say that slowly because they don't call it a sedan, they don't call it a hatchback, they didn't really even call it a car, they called it a streamliner. And when you see it for yourself, it has a very unique look to it, with its kind of sloping low nose and very rounded roof, sloping tail that
really just dips off into nothing as you go down the back. Very arched roof line on it. It looks very unique and unlike anything else, even in the Hyundai Ioniq family or the Hyundai brand. It has its own presence and own character. And because of its unique design, and especially that tail, they aren't calling it a sedan, they are calling it a streamliner. But this is the next electric vehicle in the Hyundai family of vehicles. It is the Ioniq 6. They did confirm that even numbers will be for cars and odd numbers will be for SUVs. Some would say the Ioniq 5 is really just a tall car hatchback, but we digress. So they did also confirm the Ioniq 7 will be the three-row crossover that many buyers are looking for, because that three-row crossover segment is very hot. And they did show us a concept of what that could look like last year at the LA Auto Show. Clearly, that one was not meant for actually driving, because the entire back was glass, had like a curved L-shaped couch in the back, had no steering wheel, it just had a joystick for the rare occasion in which you may want to pilot it yourself from the swiveling captain chair, which was really the only chair in there. Everything else was, like I said, curved. Kind of sectional couch like seating in that, so very interesting. But one thing that is very clear throughout all three of those vehicles, the Ioniq 5 that we have today, the Ioniq 6 that we were shown today, and the Ioniq 7 that we will get sometime in the very near future, there's a cohesive design language between them all, and that really is, first and foremost, this pixelated theme, both in the headlights and in the taillights, and a little bit throughout on the interior. Really, it is a cool effect. I like it a lot. It is very distinct, and you know you are looking at an Ioniq product when you see those pixelated lights. So while the Ioniq 5 was very angular and boxy, this Ioniq 6 is very curvy and swoopy, but through common design themes, you can definitely tell the family resemblance. And that is even further accentuated when you move inside. The dash, the bulk of the dash, is basically a carryover from the Ioniq 5. So if you liked the Ioniq 5 interior, you will like the Ioniq 6. Just some packaging differences around the exterior of the dashboard, but really all the switch gears the same dual screen setup with the 12.3 inch screens up front, same steering wheel, same funky drive selector that kind of juts off the right side of the steering column. Perhaps the only real downside to both the Ioniq 5 and the Ioniq 6 for me is that very odd drive selector, which in the Ioniq 5 was a little more necessary because it had a movable sliding center console. The Ioniq 6 doesn't have that. It has a fixed in place center console that is slim, yes, but could have housed buttons or a dial, but they chose to carry the entire steering column over from the Ioniq 5, and so you get that funky drive selector in this as well. That center console is unique to the Ioniq 6, so it is fixed in place. And it is a kind of a floating bridge style. So up top, you've got your cup holders and some controls up there. Interesting touch here, your lock unlock buttons and your window buttons are located on that center bridge, because the doors have no buttons on them really whatsoever. You just have your two-person memory seat setting on the driver door, nothing on the passenger door. Very interesting design choice there, if I do say so myself. As somebody who drives a vehicle with a singular lock-unlock button on the dash of my car, it's not my favorite, but if you drive a Wrangler or a Bronco, you'll be quite familiar with the center-mounted window switches in this. And then moving back to the back, very comfortable, very roomy back seat. There's more wheelbase in this IONIQ 6 than a Hyundai Palisade three-row SUV, and that is the same as in the IONIQ 5, so a lot of interior space in this one. Flat load floor back in the back, so you really could get three across without any fighting of the feet looking for space back there in the back seat. Because of the fixed center console, you get a couple of air vents on the back there. Very nice, interesting. An omission that I was sad to notice was no sliding sunshades on the back windows like the IONIQ 5 has. So if you really like some of those creature comforts in the back seat, the IONIQ 6 may not be the one for you. I was really sad when I noticed that those were not back there, but that was a quick take there. And then Hyundai showed off. I was very glad that they brought this to the LA Auto Show because they showed it off in Korea, and I'm very glad it made its US debut, and that is the Envision 74. The press site calls it a concept vehicle, but they were very careful to shy away from that phrasing on stage. They called it a rolling lab because it has a unique hydrogen fuel cell hybrid technology built into it and is really quite unique. Its design language harkens back to the 1974 Pony Coupe concept as Hyundai was really getting started as a brand. And it was confirmed. I know a lot of people said this Envision 74 concept looked a lot like a DeLorean. Well, Hyundai would say the DeLorean looks a lot like this because both of them drew inspiration from that 74 Pony Coupe concept. And that was confirmed by Attell Design designers. So they made that very clear from the stage. But very beautiful vehicle, very reminiscent of the DeLorean DMC-12, and like I said, shared design language between all of them there. This has a 671 horsepower drive motor in it, 664 pound-feet of torque, uses a 62.4 kilowatt hour battery with 800 volt fast charging architecture, has a 9.3 pound hydrogen tank capacity and an 85 kilowatt fuel cell stack, and that takes 5 minutes to refill. It does have a max speed of 155 miles an hour and a max range of 373 plus miles. So, very interesting vehicle that shows off what is capable in the green space, in the sustainable space, using both hydrogen and electric components for a very unique hybrid vehicle with very cool racing intentions. Going back to the layout of the LA Auto Show and how I could not make it to every press conference, the next one fell into that category because it was back in the other hall, and that was with the new electrified 500 from Fiat. Fiat chose to do something rather unique when showing off this new Fiat 500e, in that they showed off three one-off concepts designed by Armani, Cartel, and Volgari. And they say it is set to embody the Italian spirit and three souls of the new 500e. I would say the new 500e is a very cute, fun, quirky little vehicle. And all three of these were the Cabrio models, so they do have a retractable soft top and very familiar but very updated styling for the modern era. I would say my favorite of these one-off examples that we saw here would probably be that very rich, very deep metallic purple of the Cartel version, followed by the Volgari. It was orange with orange tinted windows and a very unique interior. And then Armani showed off a very subtle, subdued, kind of matte gray version as well. Not a lot of specs given on the media site for those, other than they will be available in Q1 of 2024. And unfortunately, the three versions we saw were, in fact, one-offs. So sadly, those are not for purchase. I'm sure they will either be kept in a spot somewhere in the corporate office or auctioned off for charity or something. The next press conference, I made sure to get a desirable seat for, because Genesis pulled a fast one over this week on the automotive world. Many times, journalists will get a sneak peek of what is coming so that they can write their stories or prepare their content before the official unveiling. And after it is unveiled to the world, then all that content can go up. With this one, a couple of days ago in Malibu, with the sun setting back behind them, right on the beach, Genesis unveiled just an absolutely stunning X-convertible concept. And they say it rounds out their X-concept trilogy with the X-concept and the Expedium Coupe. And the Expedium Coupe was here, and so was this convertible. And oh my goodness, this thing was stunning from every angle. Very unique design, and I absolutely loved it. We just spent a week in the Lexus LC 500 convertible and turned heads everywhere we drove. I think this would turn even more heads, because it is... I can't even put into words. The back end of it is very unique. It looks almost like a boat, but kind of like an airplane, but kind of like a sports car. A lot going on with this design. And Genesis is really leaning heavy into this two-line design philosophy. You've seen it in vehicles we've tested with their headlights and their taillights. And that is no exception here. Just taking up another notch on the X convertible concept. The taillights, again, very long wraparound red two lines on the trunk and down the side. And then going to the front, just in front of the front doors, and wrapping all the way around to the other side, and encompassing the front of the vehicle, were two white LED lines that diverged to give a faux grill to the front and made up the headlights, made up the lights of the front of this vehicle, and just absolutely spectacular. Taking light and its usage in vehicles to a new level. And being that this is based on an electric vehicle platform, they're able to push the wheels out to the corners, which means it does look like the interior space is a little more spacious than that LC 500 convertible we drove from Lexus not that long ago on the channel. Made a little more room inside when you could push those wheels to the corner. Right next to it was the not new, but the... well, not brand new to the viewing public here, but the new 2023 Genesis G90, which was named Motor Trend Car of the Year. And following up the GV70's SUV of the Year award last year, just a really good full-size, large, luxury sedan. We have yet to get some time in one. We recently tested the G80, which is a little bit smaller, but very much looking forward to getting some time behind the wheel of the G90. And I really can't wait to test this one out, especially now that it has won Motor Trend's Car of the Year. They also had the electrified GV70 there on the show floor, which they unveiled to the world a few days ago, again here in LA ahead of the auto show. I loved the gas-powered version we had. I also loved the electric GV60 we had. So you put those two things together, and this promises to be a really fun SUV, compact SUV, luxury vehicle for sure. And the last press conference I attended was that of Kia, and they showed off a new refreshed 2024 Kia Seltos with a new, very fun, very happy kind of seafoam green paint job on this one. I love that color is coming back in automotive. I was just getting tired of all the gray tones and just red and blue as your additional options. Look no further than the Tesla paint palette. You get black, white, gray, red, and blue with Tesla because those are the most popular colors and nothing more. But I'm glad to see that the Hyundai family of brands is not afraid to bring color to the mix. And this new 24 Kia Seltos has a new updated front, lighting reminiscent of the Niro crossover that slots in underneath this. New increased power in the 1.6-liter turbo 4 under the hood. It now makes 195 horsepower and is mated to an 8-speed automatic, no longer using that 7-speed dual clutch. The interior is very much upgraded and has dual 10.25-inch color screens for your gauge cluster and your infotainment. So really kind of a miniature Telluride on the inside. And then the back even looks like a miniature Telluride as well. So really leaning heavy on the new design language of the Kia brand. And really cute little SUV. And a very important one for Kia. They say buyers of the Seltos are usually first-time Kia buyers or are coming to Kia from another brand. So very important for brand growth. And they say users, owners of their vehicles are using more of their vehicle than owners of competitive vehicles in the class. So very interesting there from Kia. Which segues very nicely to the first vehicle I got to spend any amount of time with personally myself in the 2024 Chevrolet Trax. It was a month ago, that Chevy really surprised us all with this one because it's gas-powered and a Trax, and it's bigger than the Trax it replaces and bigger than the Trailblazer that was kind of set to replace the Trax, and it's cheaper. It's so what we have here is a vehicle that is 11 inches longer than the outgoing Chevy Trax and comes in at under $22,000 base price. So very affordable as well. And Chevy said that this really fills a gap in the market that they saw some other competitors leaving or graduating up out of, and really fills a segment that they see a lot of potential in this size class, in this price class. I think it will sell very well at that $22,000 price point. They had the top trim active on tap for us to check out and look at. And I would say that I believe the design language of this Trax is the best implementation of Chevy's SUV crossover design out of any of them. It is really handsome, looks good from every angle. And I seeing it for myself just confirms everything I thought when I saw the pictures of it online a month ago. And it is a really good looking vehicle that I think Chevy is going to sell a lot of. Standard 8-inch diagonal screen behind the steering wheel for your gauge cluster. Does have an optional 11-inch screen for infotainment on your top trim, LT, RS, and active trims. That is optional. Otherwise, you get an 8-inch touchscreen infotainment there. Does have wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Does have LED headlights, 17, 18, or 19-inch wheels, four-wheel disc brakes, and active noise cancellation. So it really makes the interior of this vehicle quiet. Looking forward to getting some wheel time behind one, hopefully very soon. We shall see what the future holds for us on that. But very impressed with this vehicle. Like I said, the LS starts at $21,495, and the top trim active starts at $24,995. So even the top trim active and the 2RS even both slot at $24,995. I'm sure there are a few options that you can tick to put that over the $25,000 mark, but really impressed with this showing from Chevy. I think this vehicle is going to sell very well. And then I went over to Honda. I checked out the new Pilot, which, seeing it in person, it's the best the Pilot has ever looked in its history. It really is a beautiful three-row SUV. Very masculine styling. I like every bit of the update that they did to this one. And they showed off the new Trail Sport trim, which, like the Pilot Trail Sport that we tested not long ago, has upgraded wheels and tires, but unlike that Pilot, has some additional goodies with a little bit of a suspension lift, I do believe, and some underbody protection. So going a little bit above and beyond what the Pilot Trail Sport had, and that Pilot Trail Sport was based on the outgoing Passport, and I'm getting Pilot and Passport all messed up here, so my apologies, but we tested the Passport Trail Sport. The Pilot Trail Sport is new, and yes, the Pilot Passport Trail Sport, my goodness, see what they did? They made the names too similar. The Passport Trail Sport we tested was based on the old Pilot platform, so I would expect a new Passport very soon and a new refreshed Passport Trail Sport very soon as well. That was more difficult than it needed to be. I am sorry for that. And then I kind of ended my day on a very fun, festive note in the VW ID. Buzz. This is the rebirth of the iconic VW van, VW bus of the 60s. This should have been the first mainstream electric vehicle. I'm just going to say it right now. VW missed the mark by not bringing this out much, 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 much sooner than they have and are, because the version we saw today at the LA Auto Show was unfortunately the European spec, which is a shorter wheelbase, only a two-row model. The US spec will be longer wheelbase, will have three rows of seats, will potentially have a bigger battery and longer range because EVs build and hide the batteries in the floor. So if you stretch your wheelbase, stands to reason that you will have more battery capacity. And so that's the case here. As it stands, the European version has a 264-mile range, which, to be honest, is a little on the low side, especially when you consider we here in America won't get these until late 2024, maybe early 2025. And when you're talking about 2025, that is really on the low side of total range. So VW has got to work some wizardry on the US spec with the longer wheelbase and get us more than 264 miles of range in 2025. I really think they need to aim for something with a 3 at the beginning of it to really be competitive when that finally makes it to market here for us in the States. But yeah, it uses the same batteries from the VW ID4 that we have tested here on the channel already. So again, the European model is a little bit different than what we will get, but it does, let's see here, looking for the power specs on it, 201 horsepower. So you're not going to be drag racing your VW bus, that's for sure. 0 to 60 in 10.2 seconds. So again, you're not going to be drag racing this. The battery can be charged from 0 to 100% in 7 hours and 30 minutes at 11 kilowatts. On the road, it can take DC fast charging up to 170 kilowatts, which would take you from 5 to 80% in 30 minutes. So it's there. It's competitive for the modern market, but I'm just fearful that when it gets here in 2025, that it'll be just a little bit too far behind, which is a real bummer because I think this thing is really fun and really cool, and VW could potentially sell a lot of these. Getting to check one out both inside and out today at the LA Auto Show was a lot of fun. There's a lot of character in this vehicle and will make a lot of families very happy. I am quite sure of it. That's a quick summary of my time at the show. I didn't even cover what Chevy is gracious enough to have lent me to maneuver around in while I am here in Southern California, and that's the 2023 Chevy Silverado ZR2. I do have a video review of that coming very soon. I hope to get one on my home turf for a full week, but getting to spend 3 days in this one has really got me missing my 2007 Silverado that I had oh so many years ago. But yep, I've got that coming. And then I did do a complete walkthrough of the show floor, kind of showing off as much as I could, as quickly as I could. But yeah, that is it here from the LA Auto Show. Thank you so much for listening and following along. I am going to hand this show back over to past Corey to close this episode out. But from future Corey sitting in my hotel room here in Southern California, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, future Corey, and welcome back to past Corey, where I have no knowledge, no recollection of the LA Auto Show, because yet again, I'm back here in Tyler, Texas, before ever leaving for Southern California. I do thank you so much for listening to this odd recording of an episode, and look forward to bringing you more news very soon. We've got some fun stuff on our schedule that we are looking forward to. Looking forward to breaking some additional news ourselves here on the channel. So if you haven't yet, absolutely go find us. GTGarageTalk.com is where you can find links to everything. But you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all that good stuff. Until next time, gearheads, bye.